It's my pleasure to welcome to Godfrey Daniels, but they'll be at Godfrey Daniels. That's to All Reed Street, Quentin Fisher, who plays mandolin, and Michael Johnson, who plays guitar, both members of the Pennsylvania bluegrass band Serene Green. Welcome to All Reed Street.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jeff.
It's my pleasure. You were just here back at Music Fest time when Carlos Benjamin was sitting in for me here on All
Reed
Street.
We were. We had the whole band with us, too. That was a good time.
Right. And you're only half the people you used to be.
Right.
Half the band. Yeah,
half
right.
The band. John Hartford, what does he mean to you folks?
I mean, he's one of my biggest inspirations personally, especially over the course of the last year. I mean, I've been listening to Hartford for years now, but over the course of the last year, I've just like really dug into his repertoire, and he's just been an inspiration on many levels for me.
He's credited actually with the startup of what's called Newgrass. And that means taking bluegrass and making it new.
That's true, and that's definitely one of the things that drew me to him originally. But the funny thing about Hartford is that's just one thing that people know him for, and he did so many other incredible things. It's hard to even sum him up in one or two sentences or in one set's worth of music.
Yeah, well, he did 40 albums or so, so just right. Picking on one doesn't exactly say it all, but it is, let's say, one of the things that people remember him for. Another would be that he was part of the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack.
And, oh, yeah.
And that also caused another sort of resurgence, a new interest in bluegrass.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the interesting things about Hartford to me is he was always such an innovator in different styles, you know, the Newgrass movement. He was really into old-time fiddling and his later career, and he's never thought of as being, you know, one of the virtuosic players that, you know, like Bela Fleck or Tony Rice or guys like that, but he's just probably one of the most musical people that's ever walked the earth.
Right, he was an innovator, and
right.
He was very modest about his own musical abilities because he had surrounded himself with some, you know, absolutely from another planet kind of musicians.
Oh, right.
And so he was very modest about it, yet his playing was spectacular, and of course his innovations were.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the show that you're going to do, a tribute to John Hartford, that's on next Sunday, the 24th?
25th, I believe.
25th, I got it now.
Making
okay.
Me second guess myself. But
okay, no, you're absolutely correct. What's the story on the show? What are you going to be doing?
Well, we're going to be running through a lot of his albums. We're going to pick a couple songs from each that we like and that we think kind of sum up who he is as a who he was as a person and a songwriter. So we're going to do two sets. The first one's probably going to be mostly John's own material, and then the second set, we might pay tribute to some other greats that, you know, you mentioned he played with a lot of other great musicians, mm-hmm. you know, Norman Blake, Vassar Clements, Tony Rice, all of those guys. So,
yeah, those guys.
So we'll probably throw in some other songs that either he played with those guys or they played, and
uh-huh.
It should be an all around good night. We're going to feature a lot of guest musicians as well throughout the evening. We have Pat McGeehan, who's played a lot of banjo with us a few years ago when we just started out as a bluegrass band.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have Derek Kretzer, who also plays banjo and other instruments as well, from the Plate Scrapers. They're from Hagerstown, Maryland. That's another bluegrass band. Josh Koniski, I know you know Josh Koniski.
I do.
The drummer for the David Bromberg band. He's going to be sitting in on some snare with us.
Uh-huh.
And another friend, Pete Lister, should be joining us as well. He's a guitar player and a bass player and a good friend of ours, so we're going to have him as well. And
so it's going to be a real musical review.
I think it will, yes.
Absolutely.
Great. Would you like to give us a sample of some of the stuff you'll be playing? I'm just going to reintroduce you. That was Michael Johnson speaking right now. He plays guitar, and Quentin Fisher, who plays mandolin, both members of Serene Green.
All right, we're going to play probably John's most famous song right now. He always used to say that this song, writing this song so early in his career, kind of bought him his freedom and allowed him to do with his life whatever he wanted musically and otherwise.
Amazing that one song could do that.
It is. And it doesn't get old, so we're going to play it for you again. This is, of course, Gentle on My Mind. It's known that your door's always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up in a stash behind your couch. It's known I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds, and the ink stains that are dried upon some line. That leaves you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory, leaves you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that binds me, or something that somebody said because they thought we'd fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're waiting in the back roads by the rivers of my memory, smiling ever gentle on my mind. Clotheslines and junkyards and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother cause she turned and I was gone. I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and the summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back roads by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from the gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a ruffling coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round a tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're waiting in the back roads by the rivers of my memory, smiling ever gentle on my mind.
And to let that last note fade out. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that.
Gentle on My Mind, Quentin Fisher on mandolin and Michael Johnson on guitar. Part of the tribute to John Hartford they'll be doing in a week from now over at Godfrey Daniels. That'll be on Sunday, November 25th. That was absolutely wonderful. I read that he made $100,000 a year from that song. The royalties on it. It had something like at the point that I was reading, because I know it's much more than that now, 6,000 times it had been played on TV or on radio.
Man, I believe it. I can't speak to the statistics, but I believe it. He said it's the song that bought him his freedom.
Yeah. Well, you know, lucky guy. Nothing could be better. He was a riverboat captain?
He was. He grew up with a deep love for the Mississippi River and the culture surrounding it. He even wrote a song kind of about how his interest was sparked. He had a school teacher in elementary school when he was just maybe 8 or 9 years old, who kind of ignited his interest in the Mississippi River culture, and he actually wound up being a riverboat pilot.
Yeah, you had to get a license to do that.
Yeah.
And study. That's just a wonderful kind of thing. He was that kind of a guy.
Yeah.
He was born in New York and then raised in St. Louis, so the river was right in his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so at your performance of him, what elements are you going to have besides the band and playing the music? What is the night about?
We're going to be talking a lot about, you know, what John Hartford and his music means to us personally, and we're hoping to get our guests to share a little bit about what it means to them as well. And now we haven't discussed this. This might be a surprise. Dave and Cindy and Ramona, if you're out there listening, I know I haven't brought this up yet, but I'd love to get some of the folks from Godfrey's to come up and share some personal stories. It's going to be a night of music, obviously, but it'll also be kind of a remembrance for those who had a personal connection to him and just a reflection for the rest of us.
Right, yeah, and that sort of brings it all back home right here to the Lehigh Valley, right, where John had played several times over at Godfrey's over the years.
And there's I should bring up a story that really interests me with the personal connection to Bethlehem and Godfrey's. I'll try to tell a short version of it. So they recently published a book over the summer. His daughter, Katie, helped to put this together of his original fiddle tunes. He wrote fiddle tunes almost compulsively later in life, and he had just like journals upon journals full of tunes written in his own hand on sheet music. So they compiled a book of 176 of his own original tunes, along with drawings and pictures and stories, and they published it this past summer. I picked up a copy, and when we were down at the IBMA conference in Raleigh this past September, Katie, John's daughter, was there with a booth promoting the new book, and I got to talking to her, and I was telling her about the Hartford show we're doing at Godfrey's. She's going, "Godfrey's, Bethlehem, that sounds familiar to me." She goes, "You know, I think there's a tune in the book called Bethlehem Godfrey's." And I'm like, "What?" And I'd had the book for a couple weeks, but 176 tunes, so I hadn't looked at all of them yet. So she tells me this, and we open up the book, and we page through, and we find it, and it's dated 1987, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's called Bethlehem Godfrey's, written presumably after a show he played there. And no one ever knew about this tune. Most of the tunes in this book had never been recorded or even performed on stage. And so I took a picture of it, and I sent a message to Dave and Ramona and Cindy. I was like, did you guys know about this? No one had any idea. So 30 years later, we get to unearth this fiddle tune on stage where John played and probably came up with the tune on that very stage, and no one even knew it existed for decades.
That's great. I'm glad you gave us the short version.
Yeah, right?
Because it sounded like it would have taken about an hour, amazing encounter and then also amazing coincidence.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Very serendipitous.
Would you like to do another tune?
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about the fiddle tunes, I think we'll probably do one of those now. Like we mentioned earlier, John spent most of his later career devoted to old-time fiddle music. Mm-hmm. And he put out an album called Wild Hog in the Red Brush and Some Other Favorites You Might Not Have Heard. I think that's the full title.
Well, that's the kind of sense of humor he had. He was on television on the Glenn Campbell show, and then they wanted to recruit him to play a detective in some kind of thing, and he couldn't see that. He was a musician. So, and now Quentin has picked up the fiddle, and we're going to hear some of that.
Yes, so this is one off that album. This is called Lady of the Lake.
covers of Serene Green, Michael Johnson and Quentin Fisher doing a yet another John Hartford tune. And John, when he had Hodgkin's lymphoma, is that how he died?
Right, so in, I think it was 1980, he was about 40 years old, he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he essentially didn't know how much longer he'd be living, and his kids describe it as he went through a paradigm shift. That's kind of when he really started his study of old-time fiddle music in a more serious way, and that's also the time he learned how to read and write music. He didn't know how to read music up until that point, and so all these tunes that he notated, these 60 journals full of them, he only started doing that, you know, when he was about 40 years old or so.
And then he did live, he lived 21 more years.
He did live 21 more years, that's true.
But, you know, that's good for us.
Absolutely.
He was an amazing guy, he truly was. He was known for his personality, and people just loved him because he was just such a natural guy. And maybe it helped, I don't know, facing death to really get in touch with yourself, but then to be blessed with 20 more years instead of leaving us way too early.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's the one, it's part of what makes this so daunting for me to put on this show. I mean, first of all, there's so much to cover musically, but the other thing is it's nearly impossible to capture John's personality, which is such a big part of it. So we're obviously not in any way going to try to replicate what John did, because it'd be impossible. But we're going to play his songs, and we're going to do them our way, and we're going to try to conjure that the spirit of John Hartford and his music however we can.
Right. Well, truly, he lives on through his music, and you guys are helping keep that alive and promoting that. That's a wonderful thing.
Doing our best, anyway.
Would you like to do another one?
Yeah, sure. Let's do one more. This is a song off the album Aeroplane, which is considered a landmark album in Newgrass music. Some would say, Sam Bush says it's the first Newgrass album, or without that album, there wouldn't be any Newgrass music. So this is a song called, we're going to play one called Tear Down the Grand Ole Opry. At the time that he wrote it, they were building Opryland outside of Nashville city limits and moving the Grand Ole Opry from the Ryman Auditorium in downtown Nashville where it used to be. And I guess John was kind of upset by that. So he wrote this one. And it's not the only song he wrote on this topic. There's a Nobody Eats at Lime Balls Anymore off Morning Bugle, which kind of similar theme. Yeah. So, yeah, here it is. Tear Down the Grand Ole Opry. 1, 2... Tear down the Grand Old Opry. Another good thing is done gone on, is done gone on.
Well, there were campers, and there were buses parked all around where there used to be a door. Another good thing is done gone on, is done gone on. Right across from the wax museum, they used to line up around the block from East Tennessee and back down home again. All of a sudden, there's nothing to do where there once was an awful lot. and I guess I have now for a good many years. When I hear the grand old Opry, it makes me sad that it's gonna disappear, gonna disappear. Another good thing is done gone on, is done gone on.
Well, fortunately, they didn't tear it down. It's still there, and they still use it occasionally.
This is true. They didn't tear it down.
Yeah.
They just moved it.
Well, the building's still there, isn't it?
The Ryman Auditorium is still there, but yeah. The Grand Ole Opry does not reside in the Ryman anymore.
I know. I've been there, and it's more like a mall than it is like like an intimate venue, which it was. Just tell us a little bit about Serene Green a little bit, just so folks know who you are and where you've been.
Well, Serene Green, Q and I here, we started Serene Green back in 2011. And at that point, it was just the two of us. You know, we were playing folk songs and all that. And we had a bunch of musician friends join us along the way, kind of a rotating cast, if you will, of bandmates for a few years. And then over the last 4 years, we really fell in love with the bluegrass sound. You know, we were turned on to it by Olden in the Way, but, you know, from there we just dug deeper and deeper into the traditional bluegrass and Bill Monroe and Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs and all those pioneers of the great music. And at that point we knew we wanted to play bluegrass, and we had just kind of worked our way into the bluegrass community in eastern Pennsylvania and met some folks there. We met Steve Leonard, who is now our banjo player. And he introduced us to Shane McGeehan, who is now our upright bass player. And the four of us make up Serene Green, and we've been going with this this lineup for the last 2 years now, or coming up on 2 years. And we play a lot of original music, but lots of traditional stuff as well. We have one album out. It's available online at serenegreenbluegrass.com. And we are very excited to be getting back into the studio. We're going to be recording at Patuxent. Down in Rockville, Maryland, and we're going to be getting in the studio in January and recording a second album for everyone. So,
well, I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
And I've caught you guys more than once.
Oh, yeah.
thanks to my stepson who turned me on to you folks, and I'll just let you know he's doing well. He's out in Oregon now, and he's hooking up with a band already. Just landed there.
It's only a matter of time.
Yes. Well, I want to really thank you both for being here.
Michael Johnson
and Quentin Fisher, both
thanks,
of
Jeff.
Serene Green. And they're going to be over at Godfrey Daniels. That's next Sunday night, the 25th.
That's right.
Great. And I'm going to leave you with a song by John Hartford. In fact, the title track from Steam-Powered Aeroplane, closing out. Thanks again for joining us
Thank you.
On All Reed Street.
Thanks.